This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Do I want to get to Josh in Chicago real quick? Because he's talking about empathizing with Frank in Cleveland, who called in and said he's not going on the trip to Vegas now. He's not going to do it. Let me get to Josh, who's listening on the free Odyssey app in Chicago, Illinois. You're next up in the Fan. Hello, Josh.
Morning, fellas. How we doing?
Morning to you. Go right on ahead.
I can sympathize with the way things are, you know, going, that you don't want to go to Vegas. I don't see why that's such a big deal, personally. I think that I was just in Vegas. It was all right. But it's, you know, Vegas has its fun, and you can go and do that. And then you can do football, but, you know, the Browns aren't playing so well right now. That might ruin the trip.
Well, I gotta add, like, when I went to – this is a great thing, Josh. Like, let me put your city into this. I was like a child – getting to go to Disney time. I never was into Disney, so going to Chicago was a big deal for me when I was a 35-year-old man. So I went with Lima, and I was so excited to go to Chicago. But we were on our way to Iowa State game, and they played Northern Iowa that day, and they squeaked out against Northern Iowa. And I did think, I have times I go, I didn't once in that game think that they were going to lose to Northern Iowa. But I go, what if they lost to Northern Iowa? What if that Notre Dame trip I went on last year, what if they would have lost to Wake Forest like they did to Northern Illinois? Like, it would kill it.
It would suck.
It would murder it. There's a lot of pressure on that.
We got crazed fans. So, you know, some guys take and some ladies take the losses real hard. And it just might not be, you know, they're just speaking out, hey, it might not be the best thing for my mental health to go out there. And I might look at my money and be upset about it. And so, yeah, I just wanted to call, sympathize, put a little light towards the listeners because, you know, Lima, no offense, buddy, had a little rough calls there earlier. So I just wanted to, you know, throw a little love back to the callers and say, you know, they're not all nuts. They're just trying to deal with life.
We enjoy the callers, Josh. Thank you for the call. Come on.
Part of me still thinks that Will was getting you worked into a shoot, and it worked. But either way, I maybe I'm hoping so, because that got kind of out there.
Will was playing you more than you play Matt.
Wow. Ooh,
my goodness gracious. However, Iowa State's expected to beat Northern Illinois when you go out there. Notre Dame was expected to beat Northern Iowa, and Northern Illinois was expected to be beaten by Notre Dame. Wake Forest, when we went, was expected to be beaten by Notre Dame. Every NFL game's a toss-up, so maybe you see it in a different sense. But it would dampen the trip if you spend all this money and like, man, I'm going to go to Vegas. We're going to do Vegas. I can't believe I'm going to do Vegas. And I get to go see the Brownies play. If they were like to go out there and they were like lose and get look bad doing it, and everybody's making fun of your quarterback and everybody's making fun of your coach as you walk out of the stands.
That's
or
a good
if you're
point.
There with a
it's
bunch of Browns fans.
It softened my thoughts on it because I thought, well, you still go to Vegas and have fun, right? And then you just don't go to the game. You're not going to fly to Vegas and then not go to the Browns game when the Browns are in town.
Are there directs anymore from Cleveland to Vegas?
There are a few, but not as many as there used to be.
All right, not as many as there used to be, but there's a few, which it means that you probably have a lot of fans on the same flight wearing brown stuff.
Oh, it's everybody. Yeah, for
so
sure.
So basically, you find yourself on a team plane in a lot of ways on the way back after a loss.
And, okay, that part of it would
suck. That would suck.
Let me tell you something, though. The flight going out, and I've been on many of those, and it's almost obnoxious. It was cool when you were younger, not so much when you are a little more mature. The clapping, the cheering, the
Taylor
drunkenness.
Swift singing.
Guys, people are so drunk on those flights to Vegas for the first time or just in general. And now you imagine everyone's rocking Browns gear and it's here we go, Brownies. You're not getting sleep on that flight. That'd be a lot of fun.
That would be awesome. but it would be an annoyance and or a sadness to go out there and see it. Because I imagine Vegas is a fun place. I really have no reason to go. I've never had a reason to go, but everybody loves it. It's America's playground for a reason. I know that I'm one of the odd men out. 216-474-0092. So I want to get to this UNLV thing coming up here in a bit. However, I asked you if we had a Ken Dorsey problem. How do we have a Ken Dorsey problem when we don't know what he does? Well, isn't that the Ken Dorsey problem? Because now we're forced to have all these answers about things that we don't know. And most of the answers, like, I'm sorry, I don't know how many people were really watching Browns Giants on Sunday afternoon. Because there were some things that, I mean, we could sit there and just beat the drum and say how bad the quarterback is. But I'm going, well, wait a minute. We keep saying franchise QBs need to elevate our teams. What's Joe Burrow's excuse then? What's Dak Prescott's excuse then? And honestly, what about 2020 Deshaun Watson? Nobody was saying how he had to elevate that team. Everybody said that he was doing well in spite of that team, that the rest of that team had to raise themselves to his level. Now, 2020 Watson ain't coming back. However, I do think that a lot of people, there are some people breaking it down, and there are some concerning things about whether or not he can break down an offense, whether or not he can, or defense, whether or not he can make the right read. There's definitely concern there. I'm just trying to, in the spirit of fairness, call it down the line and go, have we gummed up the works more than we need to? And we are realizing that even three games in, are we gumming up the works more than we needed to with this quarterback who might need things simplified? We don't seem to know what we're doing from week to week.
Well, it's the fact that they, following the stretch run last year, end up acting like their offense was broke. When we all saw their offense, and yeah, against not the stiffest of competition, but we all saw all of a sudden things we hadn't seen all year.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately after the year, you get rid of that quarterback, and then you also get rid of the offensive coordinator. That doesn't happen. And I said it at the time. Like, that doesn't happen around the league. Teams don't just get rid of the formula for what caused the entire city to jump up and down. Even if we all knew, if we were being honest with ourselves, yeah, the Flacco thing, that was a one-time thing. That was fun.
Oh, I thought he was starting to turn into a pumpkin.
Right,
I thought the jack-o'-lantern was starting to rot on the front
porch. And by the way, he played great in that first half. In that first half. The second half, you know, the two pick sixes.
I have a lot of respect for Joe Flacco, but
we all knew. We're being honest with ourselves. That was not something you could come back with, especially with the Watson stuff. But then to say, like, the offense is broke, well, you're basically saying we're desperate to find something that will make our quarterback look good because we've tried a bunch of stuff and it's not working.
Yes, and here we are. We're finding ourselves even more damn desperate than we are. And because we're so desperate, did we make the wrong decision here? Does Kevin Stefanski trust Ken Dorsey in this moment? Was he the one who ordered the code red and made that hire? I mean, you brought that up yesterday on the show. A lot of people have been talking to old Raj across the table from me. You brought that up on the show yesterday. Was that really Kevin Stefanski's choice? Was that something Kevin Stefanski was comfortable in doing, was letting go of Alex Van Pelt? Was that a necessary change? And three games into this, a lot of people are getting ready to call up and say, no, it wasn't a necessary change. Why do we do all this? Why do we do a sunk cost yet again to try to pull the nose up on this thing just because of the contract that's there? Like, these are questions that have to be faced. Or did we try to save something that maybe didn't need saving? Maybe Kevin Stefanski himself could have negotiated this offense. This is all coulda, woulda, shoulda, whataboutism. But that's where we're left right now with 1-2. And the major questions that we have to answer big picture with this team already again. Because there's so much more at stake. If it was just him and a bunch of young guys, all right, we can try to get ready. There's age on this team. There's history on this team. There's guys that you can think whatever you want to think about the quarterback. There's guys who a lot of fans really adore. There's a running back. There's a defensive end. There's a cornerback on this team. There's a guard on this team a couple of guards on this team that fans really like. People like the players. The tight end who has been through the ringer with this fan base over his career and has come out on the other side and has been a fan favorite. You know, his future is here. His legacy is hinging on this. And right now, you're failing each other. Whether it be coaching, I cannot come from the game on Sunday or even the game two Sundays ago and say that it's all on the quarterback. I have to share the blame with the coaching. I have to share the blame with the quarterback. But I have to share the blame on what was your decision process in doing all of this over this offseason? What was that? Because I still keep going back. He doesn't show it. He was very quick to say that Deshaun Watson was going to play on that Saturday game against Seattle. Why? He knew he needed time with the offense. He knew he needed that. And the worst thing that could have possibly happened, happened against Minnesota where guys ended up being injured. And that Jed Wills wasn't ready to come back still. 216-474-0092. John in Ohio. You're next up on the Fan. Yellow.
How are we doing?
We're doing so, okay, John. Go ahead.
Same state. Here.
Yep, same state.
A few things. All right. My roommate, he's a Bills fan. Last year they had Ken Dorsey. His biggest complaint about the offense was they didn't run the ball enough. As soon as they fired Ken Dorsey, they started running the ball again with James Cook. They had great success. This year, what have we not done enough in 3 weeks we started with the season? Haven't ran the ball enough. I think Ken Dorsey's idea is rubbing off on Stefanski. I think it's bad for the offense. We're just a joke at this point. The Steelers are 3-0, and they're literally running the exact same plays that we should, running the ball, playing good defense. What are your thoughts?
It's hard to fight against that, and it's getting harder and harder to fight against it every week, John. Like Sean McDermott, again, Sean McDermott had an out. Sean McDermott's a defensive guy. I don't know what his responsibility really is. We knew there was a good, and thank you for the call. We knew there was a clear defined responsibility for Ken Dorsey. I don't know if what their clear defined responsibility is. Are you an idea man? You're a game planning man? I'm sure people start getting on social media. Guys, it's simple. Do we really know?
Kenny, I don't know if this is the time for nitty gritty football. I do know this. This team flat out.
It's always time for nitty gritty
football. This team can't run the football out of the shotgun. Outside of the one huge run they had against Jacksonville, right? Was that fourth down? Outside of that.
On the fake sneak that Ford banged around the outside.
Yes. Outside of that, guys, they can't run. They can't run out of the shotgun. They're not built for it. They don't have the backs for it. And then when Chubb comes back, there have been conflicting information on whether he can or can't. I just don't know what version of Nick Chubb we're getting. But the problem is, everybody agrees that Watson has to be out of the shotgun, right? To get the most out of Watson.
Yeah.
So teams are teeing off. That's what the Giants were. They knew you weren't going to run the football against them. And then what did they do? They had one to two to sometimes three extra defenders in the box. They function as run blitzes, but they can also be against the pass. And they crushed you.
I do think it can be as easy as when you're in shotgun, unless you're in a clear-cut pistol, your first move is going to be lateral. Okay, well, you need blocking.
Yes.
And we saw with the person who highlighted the, I don't remember who it was, somebody you showed me as I was walking back in the studio on Monday, somebody highlighted the Jed Wills play where it was like, hey, take your pick of one or two, and he got neither. It's like, dude, they're sending guys in. Exactly what you said. Shane Bowen is not a guy who blitzes a lot. They brought the house over
50%.
60% of the time nearly. They were bringing everybody there. And they were teeing off on him. And so if we try to run out of, or we try to do RPO, I don't know. I got RPO getting blown up because my offensive line isn't that good. Do we want to try to go heavy? Well, who are we going to go heavy with because our offensive line is banged up with the injuries? And then everybody says, well, we can boot him out. Everybody keeps telling me that he doesn't like to turn his back to the defense. Even though when he decides to pull it down and run, he's turning his back to the defense plenty of times.
What does it also do? Cuts off half the field. We used to talk about this with Baker, and now you're giving him...
Because we got the same guy.
And you're giving him what?
We traded all those picks for the same guy.
On those boot plays, because they don't respect your running game, everybody knows who you're going to throw the football to. It eliminates half the field. It also squeezes all the defenders into that field. And I learned all this from Madden. So you can... take solace in the fact that I play Madden and I can get all this information.
Well, 20 years ago.
All I'm saying is it's not as easy as people make it. Oh, just run away from the defenders. It's like, it's not that easy.
Yeah, but in the middle of the game, when I'm desperate for them to win, I'm begging them to run away from the defenders. Overnight, a story broke from UNLV. And I have watched zero. You know, I marked these in my Phil Steele book of the games I watch. I've watched zero UNLV. They're off to a 3-0 start. Their quarterback, Matthew Sluka, he had posted that he is no longer going to be at UNLV. He left the program in his social media post. Sluka had written that, I've decided to utilize my redshirt year. He's not going to be playing any more additional games. Says, I committed to UNLV based on a certain representations that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it became clear that these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates the best of luck this season and hope for the continued success of the program. Lima brought this up during About Last Night because this like broke. This is 12:36 a.m. Eastern time. I saw the story when I woke up this morning. Lima and I got into the beginnings of a knockdown dragout because Lima said he quit on his teammates. And I go, this is a job. He quit a job. And it's very funny to me that a place like UNLV all of a sudden couldn't pony up the money for players. If you look into college sports history, Carl Reed Jr. I'm glad I saw this during the break. Carl Reed Jr. 24/7 Sports from CBS. They run the 24/7 Sports Network. He put out all financial commitments for UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka were completely met. But after wins against KU and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent and they collectively feel his market value has increased, per source.
Well, the story
is... Gotta honor your contract, sir.
Listen, the deal is... Everybody is going to use this story to either confirm what they already either love about the new rules in the NCAA or what they hate about them, right?
Uh-huh.
So I told you that I think the crappy part of this is, and you know, let's operate under the impression.
You and I started getting nasty with each other.
Let's go with, because we don't know if that's been verified. Let's go with the fact that he's telling the truth. Okay, which we don't know if he is. Let's operate thinking that this quarterback did not get what UNLV said they were going to get him.
Never came through with the money.
Never came through.
Okay.
So you're right. I do agree with you that, A, that would be on the school, and if they're not honoring their part of the contract, yeah, he has absolutely every right to leave. I also think he's quitting on his teammates. I think that...
Oh, so you think both of these things can be true?
I do. I mean, I think...
Oh, wow. We're doing sports talk radio now, aren't we?
And the question is his responsibility to himself or to something that he also committed to? And the question going forward is, are we going to be okay with all these players just worrying about themselves, or are we still going to be under the... old impression of like 1980s, the Buckeye quarterback dreamt of playing at Ohio State, and then he got that scholarship, and it mattered to him. And then he reported to camp, and he eventually got onto the team and eventually had to wait a few years and then was a quarterback for the team he cherished and the program that maybe his uncle went to and his grandfather went to. Should we just all admit that that's not NCAA football anymore?
Go watch Rudy.
You have
Rudy.
No relationship to anybody but yourself.
Go watch Rudy, because you know what? It never was that. It never was that. It never, ever was that. It was just dirty and greasy and under the table. And honestly, we loved it. We loved hearing these stories. Be honest with yourselves. Did you or did you not love watching things like Pony Excess and the Marcus Dupree stuff and hearing about Eric Dickerson's gold transit? People love that.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
That stuff. They eat that stuff up because their team's willing to do what other teams aren't. We're willing to pay. We're willing to do that. Some of those stories are great, and you and I have been privy to some of those stories, and I lap it up.
Maurice Claret.
I lap it up guys, like an old Labrador retriever.
I know Buckeye fans didn't want to believe it at the time, but as somebody who covered that team and saw the Woody Hayes Athletic Center and saw the cars in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, I did not think for one moment that Maurice Claret was lying when he said, yeah, I had a guy that could get me this. I had a guy that could get me this. It was all taken care of.
Yeah.
School had plausible deniability. And it wasn't just Maurice Claret. You're at Ohio State. But we're talking about UNLV here. And we're talking about a quarterback that barely throws the football. He's not that great. This guy is not that good. He played at Holy Cross. He was a transfer. He's completing 46% of his passes.
Okay.
They're 3-0. Hasn't been murderer's row, but it's a great start for UNLV. Man, if it's just about the money for this guy, how can you coach any of these teams ever again?
Well,
how can you coach college football?
You can go to the pros or you can go to high school football, even though there's probably no room in the inn anymore at the pros. Yeah. There's only so many jobs.
Right. Wait, how can you coach college football and think you ever have a team, the nuclear team?
Well,
for Barry,
I think it's Barry Odom who's the coach, right? Yeah, he used to be the old Mizzou coach. For Barry Odom, then you really got to stick it to him and go win with the backup. Because if he was just doing barely better than backup, then you shouldn't have that much issue with beating some of those teams. Except, you know, Houston isn't necessarily Houston. Houston sucks. And shouldn't say that when they're getting ready to play my team coming up here. But Houston's not a very good football program right now. They just got a new coach. And Kansas is kind of on their ass because Jalen Daniels got hurt. So there's problems there. But ultimately, not to get too in the woods, I'm not going back. Like, college football was never that way. Like, guys, there's...
You don't think it was for 95% of the guys in college football?
Not at that level.
Really?
No.
You think... what percentage did you think guys were getting actual paid? Forget about, cool stuff here and there.
Oh, well, that depends on what you think is...
Come on. We had Jonathan Wells in here, and he said his clothing collection was insanity.
It doesn't matter. Money's different.
He wasn't getting money.
He was getting something. He was getting something.
Yeah, he was.
That's still an impermissible benefit that he was talking about.
Of course, they were always getting their college degree, their free housing,
and
their free food.
And they can still get their free food and free housing and their college degree. That's all possible, too. Now they can just give them money. And a lot of us are just uncomfortable with giving college football players money because we believed in this theory that wasn't even true because we wanted to believe it. And maybe that sucks, but we're saying college football isn't college football anymore. Nope, they still kick off at noon, and the ratings are as high as they've ever been and continue to climb.
Let's focus on this kid. There were no other ways. If it's true and you believe him that they did not honor the commitment, there was no other way. He couldn't go to the head coach. He couldn't go on social media and say, hey, here is what I was owed, or here is where they are not meeting their requirements. Instead, he just abandons his football team. He abandons his teammates. The guys that I'm sure he's a captain. Most quarterbacks around college football are a captain. Did they elect him as a captain? How do they
feel? Some are leaders.
Right. I mean, so I just, that part rubs me the wrong way. It just does. And yeah, I sound like I'm in a different era of college football. But this is UNLV. This isn't Ohio State. This isn't Georgia.
I'm on the record. I agree with what Mike Gundy said before the season started, going, don't you have your agents call me anymore. We're done. The negotiation period is over. You play for this football team. We're not doing contract negotiations anymore. Like, he let that cat out of the bag long ago. Where this is not NIL. We'll put you on a billboard. No, we're just going to give you money through some back channel collective. We'll give you money for it. And so if he's not honoring his commitments here, like, hey, you signed on the line, which is dotted here, buddy. Like, that's on you. And if you think that you can go out and get something better, okay. Well, maybe he ends up being a cautionary tale. Maybe he ends up being the precursor to something that's going to happen for a very long time. I don't know. But this is on him. It sucks what he did. Because if he was not getting what he was promised.
Well, that's ridiculous. Yeah,
that is ridiculous. But that's what I originally thought. If what Carl Reed Jr. here puts out there is true, then you got to fill your commitments, sir. These are your commitments.
Well, and that's the next step. The NCAA has got to figure this out to
the
where whoever's running this, it's going to be somebody else if it's not the NCAA. There has to come a point where the contracts mean something and are legitimate contracts. In the NFL, if you sign a free agency deal, unless you're Hassan Reddick, if you sign a free agency deal, there's an understanding from the team, the league, and the player. This is what's asked. These are the incentives. This is the contract. You can't break the contract.
If I was UNLV, can I sue him? Can I sue him to recoup anything? Is there any possibility to that whatsoever? Probably would probably hurt with recruiting,
right.
But you can't think that the idea hasn't crossed your mind. This is spicy stuff, man.
This was always going to happen, though, right?
That
like
is,
this in this new frontier.
Yeah, it's just I cannot believe he would. Again, if he were never paid, if they were like, "Hey, we're going to give you this, this, and this," and he didn't get it, I think he has every right. This is a job. These are coworkers. They have hold-ins in the NFL. They used to have holdouts until that became a problem. They still have holdouts in some ways. It's a job in so many ways. But if he isn't going to honor his commitments, like your negotiation period is done. You've signed your deal, sir. You've agreed to whatever agreements that they have, and those services have been rendered.
Well, I've
and
asked
those,
you this.
Those bills have been paid.
Kenny, what's the layoff now? It's not as much as it was, but once let's say Ohio State, for instance, and Will Howard, who we know is getting seven figures. If Will Howard looks great all year, looks like he is the Heisman Trophy winner, let's take this to a crazy place. His contract or whatever he agreed to with the boosters, the foundation club or whatever it's called. Okay,
he's going to hold him up for more money.
What if they're the one seed and he says, "You want to see me in the playoff? I need you to double it. I need another $1 million." Like, you see how there are problems with this arrangement.
Andy,
right now.
Andy here on Twitter. Twitter Reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Let me add an extra part to this. He goes, probably no NFL future. Might as well maximize every dollar he can.
He's not an
going
NFL
to
player.
Start seeing more of this. He's not an NFL player because my first thought is Will Howard an NFL player? Well, as you started saying that,
yeah,
I
don't think so.
If Will Howard's not an NFL player, I don't want to put such an idea in his mind like you
he's
did
Ohio
with
State.
Justin
he'll get,
Tucker.
He'd get drafted. Like he'll get a late round, but he grade wise, he doesn't have anything higher than like a fifth round grade. I don't think
that's why I'm asking. So it would probably be more lucrative to him to play college football than it would to be in the NFL right now. I mean, I don't know the taxes and everything, but there you go. But this is just so. People say it's ugly, and some of it is, obviously. He does let down his teammates if he's doing this. That's a completely different complexion. I need to see the absolute truth on this. Because if he was never paid, then this is a job, and he has every right to walk away from it. Or they can come back to him and give him what he needs, what he is owed, I should say, what he is owed before they play Fresno State on Saturday. Because I don't know if that was official. He can just say whatever he wants to on the internet as part of a negotiation tactic. People argue. People negotiate through the media constantly. But if he agreed to this, according to this report, and that all those NIL commitments have been satisfied, no. You do owe it then to your employer. That's part of the contract employer pact. Quinn asked, Ken, you never deserved a raise? Hey, I waited. I didn't just stop showing up to the radio station.
You waited
because I felt I needed more. Hey, I believe in loyalty. All right,
yeah.
I don't care about Milwaukee. I care about the people here in Cleveland. I believe in loyalty. What do you mean by I waited too long? What you getting my negotiation? What you talking about?
Can't let him take advantage of you.
Well, I don't have an agent. It's just this guy. You take too much. What do you do over there talking? I turned down Milwaukee.
You can still redshirt the rest of the show.
You so imagine,
you want
Ken,
me to walk out of here?
Ken, yeah. To do that last segment and to do Mitch, please?
I think Keith would physically come in here and make my mouth move. He would grab me by my mouth. It'd be like Jigsaw. He would make me move my mouth to say words.
I'm in for it. Let's do it.
Nah, I don't want to.
It's great visual.
Too much. I mean, I love it too much. I love the people too much.
Can't not Milwaukee, that. Not those people.
No, I don't love
not
those
for three
people.
Times the salary.
You've got all that Major League to watch over the next week.
Yeah. Which was filmed in
Milwaukee.
Oddly enough, Milwaukee. Isn't that incredible?
Bring it all back.
How the show just buttons itself up there at the end. Isn't it great? Mitch, please.
All right, guys, we teased it in the last segment. We had Donovan Mitchell yesterday speaking to Yahoo Sports' Vincent Goodwill about some things coming up for the upcoming season. And his signing the extension this summer, which we were all speculating when it was going to happen, if it was going to happen. Donovan saying, yeah, I kind of made my decision at the start of the year.
I knew, I was coming back January, February. I knew. I told my teammates that. We all knew. It's just a matter of like, look, it's going to be what it's going to be. You know, the noise and all that stuff.
Hmm.
Well, the first thing, the first place my mind went to is, why didn't he just tell everybody else that? Or at least leak it.
Got to hold their feet to the floor.
Well, didn't he try to leak honest? It?
Well, so is that what it is? Well, George Niang came on with us, and I don't know what month that was that he came on, but he was like, yeah, he's staying.
Gotta investigate.
He was on Rossillo's podcast and said he's staying. I remember that.
What's George doing right now?
George, what are you doing
right now?
Getting
ready for the season.
Get George on the show.
We'll get him. You want him next week?
Yeah.
We'll get him. So I love that Donovan Mitchell said this, but then also nobody can get mad when the national media speculated nonstop 24/7. All he had to do was kind of get in the ears of those people, and then there wouldn't have been that speculation. Had there have been national reports that, hey, he's leaning, not even he's going to, like, he's leaning on sticking with the Cavs. Like, had those reports have come out, then it would have been a non-story. Instead, it was Donovan Mitchell who allowed this to become a bigger story than it probably should have been, since he was never planning on doing anything else other than staying with the Cavs.
Well, why don't you say these things then?
So you said, hold your team accountable. Make sure that your team does.
I'm guessing.
But that makes sense, right? You don't want the Cavs to take for granted your existence. I mean, he's a guy who in a playoff game on one leg can score 50 points.
You know what? Anything can change. You don't want to have to go back on your word. You could say like, oh, I feel like, hey, okay.
Like you could go to InfoCision Stadium and say, I'm never leaving again, and then win a championship and decide that the Lakers are good for
well,
you.
Well, no one's ever done that. No one would do that.
Yeah. That's true. Like you,
so you don't want to say, hey, I'm home and I'm never leaving again and I'm not going to Lakers and my son won't also
Lakers. We make the Milwaukee joke all the time, but I can't sit there and say, well, y'all never leave. I'll never leave the fan. Well, you can't do that. He can't say he'll never leave the Cavs. He can't say that he could be very comfortable here and could be very comfortable with the Cavs, just like I'm very comfortable in this chair right now, but he can't do that. So he does have to not even hold them accountable. You don't want to find yourself in a situation where, boy, I really regret saying what I said. Like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to have to let anybody down. Fans are like that. You know, they take that seriously. I mean, again, you and I just had an argument about a guy who we didn't even know before this with a team that I got to tell you, I watch as much college football as possible. I do not have them marked on my sheet. I have not watched them this year. And you were talking about him letting his teammates down. Well, there's a fan base, apparently, that's upset over there, which is going to be interesting. He doesn't want to do that. So it's like, hey, I never said I was staying. I never gave you my word that I was going to be here forever. He honored his commitments, and maybe he would go. But they signed him, and so he will have to honor those commitments until he definitely asks for a trade if it doesn't go that well. But you get what I'm saying.
Well, we were wondering, especially had they have lost to Orlando. Remember, they were trailing in the second half of that game, or at halftime of that game. It was looking bleak. You were about to lose a Game 7 at home to a team that had no playoff experience. That was going to be the end of, I think, a lot of the feel-goods on this Cavs team. They come back in that second half. They win. And then, unfortunately, the injuries just were a disaster for the Boston series.
Yeah.
And
Plus, we're not better than them.
And we're not better than them. No, that's a good point. They did get some strong performances towards the end of the series out of Evan Mobley, which has people thinking, hey, all right. Remember, Jared Allen was not playing in those games.
That was the positive of it. That's why I could take something of it. Now, Evan's going to have to take that next step this year, which is asking a lot of him to do. But by the way, I saw the videos of him dunking earlier this year that we never really got to talk about. And did you see him working on his game at USC?
I did.
Did you see the Big Ten logo on in the key?
It's weird.
God, I go, is he in Minnesota? No.
Yeah,
he went
USC.
To USC. Like it's going to have to take some getting used to there.
I saw those jump shots. I know they were going in.
What?
My God.
His form, can you just be nice?
It looks like Evan Mobley's form is worse than last year. It looked worse. Yeah, the shots were going in.
Forget it.
But is that repeatable in a game?
God, you're a downer.
Hey,
this
I'm excited.
Old Anthony.
Cavs
this
meet. Okay, I'm sorry.
I had my finger on the Stanley button.
You know what? Here,
and then you do that.
I got news for you. Jerome. He's going to be back. Ty Jerome's going to be back. Media day is Monday.
At Manakiki?
Let's go. Well, he might do that too. There's a lot of hours in the day. Get your golf in while you can.
At Windmill Lakes?
Not Raccoon Hills.
No. It gets too physical. At Valley of the Eagles?
Too many guys.
Is that where he's going to be?
Lost money on those bets. You don't want to do that.
My eyes hurt. Why is he dancing on the golf course? People send us all types of things. Yeah, I got to get to this. I can't wait to get hammered for this. Here comes Jim in Strongsville. Go ahead. Come on.
I just want to clarify. So you in fact, consider yourself the Donovan Mitchell of the station.
Yeah,
you
are, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
You are the up-and-coming superstar.
100%.
I guess if you left, it'd be like LeBron leaving. I am so glad
Wait a minute. You just said Donovan Mitchell, and then you said if you left, it'd be like LeBron leaving. Well, you can't compare me to two basketball players.
You consider yourself a superstar. What do you mean? You're a superstar, Ken. You're the best.
But Donovan Mitchell doesn't compare himself to LeBron James, does he?
I mean, Lima's just Darius Garland. That poor guy is just trying
to have a bounce back here. I am going to have a bounce back here, Jim. I realize last year, having that second kid, it was a bad year. I did not perform up to my expectations. Guess what? I'm working in the lab.
Did you hear Lima yelling at that caller earlier today?
Lima is the
wing that we've been begging for. Lima is the fully
the
developed
6'7"
Evan
wing.
Mobley. Lima is the Lowry Markkanen that was never traded.
I mean, who's Owen? Owen, who are you, buddy? We're trying to run you out of town.
I'm probably just a Coro.
Everybody's got to get run out because
no,
he can't get it done by himself.
I can play a little bit of defense. Everybody says I'm going to get better, but I don't.
He's Jared Allen.
There we go.
Sign that extension, Ken.
Mitch is Isaac Okoro.
Who's the Max Strus in all this? Max Strus with the shot selection of Steph Curry, the efficiency of Max Strus. Who's that?
Keith. Now, Keith's the J.B. Bickerstaff. Well, wait a minute.
Saw that online.
Oh, God. I just thought of something.
What do we got?
You know you're thinking the same thing. No, who's the J.B. Bickerstaff?
Okay, come on.
We love him, but it's the truth.
Come on.
He's leaving.
And he's going somewhere else.
Yeah. Immediately getting another head job. Town. All right, shouldn't have done this at the end of the show. At least it's not the end of the week. And George Yang can be George Yang because he actually does come on the show.
Let's get him back next week, Mitch.
I want to get those beers. We got to win this in
Mitch.
Season.
I'll send the text. Don't let Mitch send the text. He's going to send it to the wrong George Yang. You want him next week?
Yes.
All right. Make sure you're listening to the station for the rest of the day. We are waiting still patiently to find out about MRIs. And they will make a big, big deal and difference about what we're going to be doing in the future with this football team against Las Vegas. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Take care.